And good evening, everyone. Welcome. It's nice to sit with you tonight. Nice group.
Let me sound check, see if they hear you.
Can you hear me?
Oh, no, you're muted. How could they hear you?
There you go. Good. It's always good to check. Begin again.
Okay, begin again. Good evening. Nice to sit with you tonight. Great to see you. Thank you for being here. You know, I noticed something. I don't know if it's true or not, but something I noticed as a teacher and then later as a principal. It seems like the more we get to know ourselves, the easier it is to love ourselves. Now, I don't know. You'll have to see if that's true, but I can remember as a teacher and then later as a principal thinking, oh, new students, I wonder if I can really truly love that student. But lo and behold, you know what it took? It took to know her. And in knowing her is to love her, you know, and I think that's true with ourselves too, with us getting to know ourselves in such intimate ways, unlike we've been knowing in the past. It's radical, and it seems that the compassion does kind of naturally arise. So we're talking about emotions. And we stopped last week with a quote from Mother Teresa. She said, a lifetime of working with the poor and the sick, she said, the biggest disease today is not leprosy or TB, but rather the feeling of not belonging. And certainly in our society, this disease has reached epidemic proportions. And so we long to belong and feel as if we don't deserve it sometimes. And we forget, and thank goodness in this practice we're reminded, we belong to each other. We are each other. And that relationship is very important. So Buddhism offers a basic challenge to our cultural worldview. He says, human birth is a precious gift because it gives us an opportunity to realize the love and awareness that are true nature. We're coming to ourselves. We're coming home to ourselves. And going to the root of our suffering, looking directly, being quiet and still within, seeing it clearly is the beginning. What is it? What are we saying to ourselves? What are we, where are we causing our suffering that is optional, that always blew my mind. You mean it's optional? It doesn't have to be that way? No, it's a lack of understanding. It's a lack of wisdom. And so seeing ourselves truly, honestly, is the beginning of freedom. And of course, this was the first noble truth. Suffering, discontent, dissatisfaction, that's part of life. And you know, I've told you the story before. One of our teachers said when he heard that, he just booed, he cried. And it was such a relief. Not that suffering is something we wish upon ourselves, but the fact that, yeah, it's been sanctioned. It's here to stay. And so how we relate to our own suffering as well as to others and really to the whole world's suffering, because we're full of it, as you well know, and we're very up close to it here lately. So our inherent worth is important to understand and to know. And Tara Brach reminds us in one of her books that our guiding myth has been with Adam and Eve from the Garden of Eden. And so we sometimes forget the power of that myth because it seems so worn and familiar. But this story really has shaped, and we've reflected our reflections reflects the deep psyche of the West. And so the message of the original sin is clear, because we got the message that we're flawed in some ways and that we don't really deserve to be happy or loved by others. And we do feel like outcast at times, and we want to belong, and we do belong. But we also been taught that we've got to redeem ourselves, our sinful self. So we've got to overcome all these flaws that we've listed in our minds by controlling our emotions, controlling our natural surroundings, controlling other people. Control. We know what that feels like. And as we meditate, we even begin to directly feel that control in our bodies. It hurts. It's a resistance. And the letting go and the letting be is much more compelling. So this striving, we know it. We strive tirelessly, acquiring, consuming, achieving, emailing, overcommitting, rushing. It's a never-ending quest to prove ourselves once and for all that we're okay. And our parents, bless their heart, they were our messengers. And of this particular culture, parents didn't mean to, but would convey to us that anger and fear are bad. We did not know what to do with it except stuff it or do whatever we could to run from it. And then all of a sudden, some wise folks say, no, don't run from it. It's you. It's part of life. It's up close. It's looking up close for all of it, the good and the bad and the ugly. And so our natural ways of expressing our wants and frustrations were not taught to us because they were deemed unacceptable. And so we learned that our desires and our views and our fears, they really don't really carry that much weight. But we need to be different and we need to be better if we are to belong. So Tara gives us some strategies to manage this pain of unworthiness. And we do whatever we can do to avoid the raw pain of feeling unworthy. But it's there, it's in all of us. Each time our deficiencies are exposed either to ourselves or to the world, we react anxiously to cover our faults, if you want to call them faults, instead of human nature. So over the years, we've developed a particular blend of strategies to design to hide our flaws. Is that not true? Oh, how are you doing? Oh, I'm wonderful. Is everything okay with you? Oh my, yes. I don't suffer. I don't have fear. I don't have anger. I don't have a big fat ego. So, and that's okay because that's what we're looking at. That's what we're seeing in ourselves, you know. Where is that authenticity, you know? And it comes to getting, searching, wanting to know who we really are. So, that's our issue. What happens is we begin to have this persona to present to the rest of the world that's made up. It is made up with all kinds of mental mind states that we've accumulated throughout the years. And when we see it happen to come upon in our lives, it reinforces, yep. See, I knew I was like that. I knew that was true. And so it's a vicious circle, you know, of just being unhappy with ourselves. That's not necessary. So Tara says we embark on one self-improvement project after another. Do we not? This will work. This will fix it. No, let me do this. No, I need to. We know. We know what we've done. We can list them. I've told you this before. One of the things I thought was going to happen as a meditator was this kind of personality that has a few edges would disappear, that I would become sugar and spice and everything nice. Well, it doesn't happen that way. It just flat doesn't happen that way. What I learned with meditation and with insight is that I'm okay just as I am. But how I'm relating to life and to myself and to others, that's where the issues are. So I want to know the truth because I've always heard and felt that the truth will set us free. So all of a sudden, we know that the good and the bad and the ugly is in all of us, even as much as we project that it's not. You mean I have a meanness in me? Yes, you do. Do I have love in me? Yes, you do. Do you have fear? Yes. Do we have hatred? Yes. No, don't use that word. I don't have hatred. Yes. That's it. We're all of it. Now, our job is how to relate to it. And so the freedom comes to the point of, oh, that's not me at all. That's my conditioning. That's who I am as a result of having a mind and a body brought up in this particular family, in this particular country. And I've got all of this baggage, and all of a sudden, someone is directing me of how to live with it. And that it is okay. And so we do. We strive. We strive. Tara says we hold back and play it safe rather than risk failure. We do that. You know, I don't want not to look or feel less than I am. So we do, we hold back. And then that part of us does not get to live. And so we don't know what to do with the fear of holding back. So we hold back. And then all of a sudden, somebody says, fear. Fear is a phenomena that's in all of us that arises and falls away. It's not who we are, any more than we are our minds, any more than we are our bodies, any more than we are our thoughts. This is just a mind-body package we were given. Who knows how, when, where, and who cares? It doesn't make any difference. But let's get to know it in a clear and honest way. And the nice thing about meditation is we're the only ones who sees all these things in ourselves. It's not like we have to tell everyone, even though I have to say sometimes I do use you guys as therapists, I mean as therapy, when I tell you some of my issues. But we play it safe. We fear. We fear what others think of us. I had one teacher, Rodney Smith, says, it's none of my business what you think of me. It's none of my business what you think of me. Well, and another one is, there's no way, absolutely no way, we know how people are thinking about us. We just aren't privy to that information. So what do? We project. It's another thing of where we go to our feelings, and if we don't know the true nature of feelings, then we identify with these feelings, and then we create the stories around them. They're not authentic. It's not the truth. So holding back, saying what we mean what we say, telling ourselves stories about ourselves that when we start looking closely are just flat not true. The other one she says is so true. She says we keep busy. Why? Because we don't understand the art of not doing. We don't understand the comfort, the freedom, the release in not doing. That was one of the biggest insights many years ago when I started meditation, was just sit and be quiet. Day after day, hour after hour, it's like it was never going to end. And yet when it did, it was like, oh, something magical. I was open to something very magical. Stillness, being quiet, looking at what's actually going on. But no, I'm a doer. I like to do, and then many times during the day, being retired, I mean, before I was a principal, I didn't have to worry about not being busy at all. That's why Randy and I would run away to every place we could run away to get away from the busyness and ourselves as busy people. But in retirement, it's the same issue. I should be doing and doing and doing. And nothing's wrong with any of this that we're talking about if we don't get lost in it and if we understand the wisdom that keeps us from being stuck in it. And of course, Taurus is, this is another one, we become our worst critics. And hallelujah, we find a way where we are beginning to listen to ourselves. My, what we say to ourselves, shame on you. No shame. But where's the dialogue? From where is it coming? And is the dialogue honest? Well, not really. Is it true? No, not really. Is it optional? Absolutely. So we're seeing what we're saying to ourselves. And then we're seeing if it's true. And then sure enough, we're beginning to see, yeah, we can talk to ourselves, but there's many other things we can say to ourselves besides all the negative things that we say to ourselves. And Taurus says, staying on top of what is wrong with us gives us a sense that we're controlling our impulses, disguising our weaknesses. You know, we don't understand that being vulnerable is probably we're closer to who we really are than when we project that we're somebody. And so the more inadequate we feel, the more uncomfortable it is to admit our faults. I think it's important to have at least one person in your life that can be somewhat truthful about our shadows and things that we don't see in ourselves. And for someone that loves us and cares about us and their intention is not to hurt us. But that's difficult for us. It's difficult for us to make a mistake even. I made a mistake, and we've talked about this a lot. Well, welcome to the human race. We all make mistakes. Now, what do we do with the mistake? And that determines whether we suffer or not, because mistakes can be most helpful. And so, I'm running out of time. So next week, we'll talk about how to recognize the trance of unworthiness. So I'll stop there, and I'll open it up to you. And it's your time to clarify or ask any questions or whatever you like to say. Thank you.
That's why everybody's sure is black.